for me, this whole thing is about personal, individual choice. It's taking away freedom of choices from people.
Residents talk about change in the air, but not smoke, as Haynes went non-smoking Monday. And the new borough manager is here. Meet him on Wednesday. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more just ahead. The Haynes Assembly will reconsider a Planning Commission decision on Tuesday night. The public hearing will review evidence regarding the decision to renew a conditional use permit at the Turner Gravel Pit in a rural mixed-use zone on Allen Road in Haynes. The appeal was brought by longtime Chilkat Valley resident Tony DeWitt, who argues that the pit was initially developed outside of the public process and has negative effects on some residential properties.
My ultimate belief is this pit in the city limits, and it's always confused because Don has one in the borough, and this one is behind the city limits, and it's the one that the conditional use permit is pertinent to. My ultimate belief is that this pit should not exist because it was developed under cloudy circumstances, i.e. no permit process for conditional use, no public hearings, no safety observations, no readings of the CMP hazardous slope area development criteria, and only brought to public meeting approximately 8 years after it was developed. Has been allowed to continue. The concern by the Haynes Borough seems to be in favor of the developer letting them continue, as it would be a financial hardship for them if the pit was closed. Turner Construction did not own this property until a few years ago when they bought it from Dave Oldroot. And I might be corrected there. I saw that they may have bought it in 96. I would like to know really how much of an investment that property was. I would bet it was nowhere near my investment in my home and property that lies directly under this pit. But yet the Haynes Borough seems to disregard my investment. What about my property values, my financial investment, my home?
Some surrounding residents and Turner Construction have for years been in deliberations about the pit's operation. Residents have voiced safety concerns and effects on residential property, while others have expressed no issues with the company. The Planning Commission has voted to renew the pit's use permits in the past years, following regular reviews. DeWitt says residents' worries haven't been fully addressed by the commission.
There was no development on the property, which is now Turner's Pit, when we bought in 1990. What about the investment of other residential property owners? What about the fact that Turner's Pit lies in the Haynesborough Coastal Management Plan, designated as a hazardous slope area, which is supposed to be developed under strict criteria to protect the lives and property of neighboring property owners? What about the property owners' worry and anxiety of living directly beneath this monstrosity? What about the changing water patterns in my yard, including underground springs bubbling up and much more surface water, where at times we have glacial fields covering our yard? What about the fact that we had to raise the pipe in our well 12 feet because we were getting sediment in our water system? What about the years of obnoxious jaycrake noise we've had to put up with, not to mention the noise created from operating heavy equipment and loading trucks with large rock and gravel? What about the loaded 12-yard dump trucks traveling through a residential neighborhood on a narrow 20-foot-wide road with a 90-degree corner? This pit has been in operation for almost 20 years, approximately 8 years without the proper permit and 11 with the Haynesboro's blessing.
Don Turner of Turner Construction also spoke at the Assembly's most recent meeting when they made their decision to repeat the hearing.
Part of the problem is you guys are trying to act as a planning commission. I mean, this is the fifth permit the planning commission has granted. All these issues you're asking about have all been went over. I mean, the reason that I'm the only gravel pit to have a geologist report and an engineer's report because of the hazardous slope area. We had DEC on our property, inspected for the water because the same thing came up before. Had testimony from Dave Oldroot that said that water problem has always been there, that glacier's always been in their yard. I talked to him today about it again. He said there's been a water problem in that yard forever. There is a mitigation plan in the permit. It doesn't say to go to the state yard. That one of the state statutes these classes for a large-scale mine for 50,000 yards a year or 5 acres. The planning commission has, by five different commissions, have granted this permit, have heard all these arguments over and over again. And in your hearing her side of it and seeing these pictures, you're overstepping the planning commission.
The Assembly's job that night was simply to decide whether or not the Commission considered all of the evidence when they made their judgment. The Assembly ultimately voted 4-2 to reconsider all of the evidence that was part of the original Planning Commission's hearing. Assemblyman Norm Smith requested that the facilities manager, Brad Maynard, make a site visit to the pit and surrounding properties to bring more information to Tuesday's hearing. The Assembly briefly considered only hearing the part of the decision that pertains to water flow on residents' property, but Assemblymember Joanne Waterman urged her peers to consider the entire decision involving all of the appellant's issues.
There are actually several issues that she feels have not been answered, the water just being one of them. I understand what you're saying, but I think if we take a look at the decision as a whole and have all the information brought before us and not limit ourselves as to what information can come before us, because she has a question about the coastal land management plan that, from what I hear her saying, has not been answered. I'd like to try and get her an answer, and if we can just get all of her questions answered and act on that, and that's what I'm going for. And so I think hearing the whole thing and not limiting ourselves would be the way to go.
The Assembly will rehear the entire Planning Commission decision to renew the 3-year permit at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday night in Haines Assembly Chambers. The new Haines Borough Manager, Mark Ernest, arrived to town Sunday afternoon with his family. A public meet and greet is scheduled for 4 to 6 p.m. Wednesday at the Haines Library in the community room. Residents are invited to the informal gathering to welcome Ernest to town. Ernest's first day on the job was Monday, January 11th. A borough staff meet and greet was held for his first day of work. Haines School closed early Monday, and a handful of meetings and practices were canceled as an Upper Lynn Canal winter storm warning remains in effect until 3 a.m. Tuesday. Drivers and brave pedestrians in Skagway and the Chilkat Valley are urged to use extreme caution if they're out in the winter storm, which is causing serious snow drifting and laying down 15 to 32 inches of total snow accumulation. Visibility on the roads is very low, and northwest winds of 25 miles per hour with gusts up to 50 are predicted through Monday night. Temperatures remain in the low teens through Tuesday, with wind chills below zero. Bartenders at establishments like the Fog Cutter in Haines put away their ashtrays for the last time Sunday night, yielding to the new smoking ban that went into effect in Haines Monday. And smokers reacted to the new ordinance with cigarettes and drinks in hand for the last time Sunday evening.
I do appreciate the fact that, you know, people don't want to sit in a room that's filled with smoke. I appreciate that.
That was Haines resident Jessie Shaw. She's also a smoker. Shaw has lived in other towns that have outlawed smoking in public places, but points out there were still smoking options there. But she acknowledges the ban might help her kick the habit.
Well, you know, like I said before, I'm not totally against it because I'm a social smoker and I'm trying to quit. So the smoking in the bar just promotes me to smoke when I'm out with my friends.
Lane Martin is a non-smoking employee at the bar. She believes the ban will not only hurt business, but add a list of extra responsibilities to her already busy job. Bartenders at formerly smoking bars will have to be alert for smoking at the bar and in the bathrooms, and continue to make sure smokers aren't leaving with drinks when they go outside for a break. And with a law that says at least one bar employee must be in the bar at all times, Martin says she can't make sure customers are following rules out of doors when she's working inside. Other smokers believe that enough options exist for non-smokers and that the ordinance affecting private organizations is too much. Tom is an occasional smoker who rang in the new era with one last indoor cigar on Sunday.
I'm an occasional smoker, and it affects my freedom of choice. Whether I choose to go to a place where there is smoking, or I choose to go to a place where there is not smoking, that's my choice.
Allie Dyvig has experience with smoking bans in Europe. She didn't go out on the last day before the ban, but is an occasional smoker, and echoes concerns that it's about freedom of choice.
For me, this whole thing is about personal, individual choice. It's taking away freedom of choices from people. You know, it's treating people like they haven't got the capacity to make their own decisions about their health. And that's where it troubles me, because people should be encouraged to make those decisions so they understand the issues. That's my feeling.
John Binger is an occasional smoker and did not have one last celebratory puff on Sunday night, but he does fear a possible downturn in business as a result of the ban.
Let's say right now, where we have blizzards, it's going to be really tough for these establishments to be successful, because no one's going to want to go stand outside and smoke a cigarette on a day like today. But then again, if it's a beautiful summer like we had this last round, then it could turn out just fine, and maybe no one will ever notice the difference. In terms of the smoking ban, you know, if I were writing these things out, I would have left it up to the bar owners themselves to make the decision as to whether they wanted smoking in their establishment or not. And if they did, that would give patrons the right to enjoy an establishment that allowed smoking, and then other owners could have chosen not to, so that way those who don't smoke can enjoy their establishment as well.
While other smokers who would rather remain anonymous have said they would not bother to go out if they want to smoke and drink at the same time, non-smokers who didn't go out much before may still surprise bars by bringing their business, now that bars are smoke-free.
Good.
And I'm going to light up right now!
Reporting for KHNS, this is Tara Bicknell. Share your local news with anyone. Just send them a link to khns.org. Archives of past newscasts are under the Listen tab.